Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here to talk to you once again about the importance of context in interpreting verses of the Bible. The particular text I'm interested in this lesson is Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Listen to the text. It's a familiar one. "For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." This is a text that you may have quoted yourself, or you certainly have heard it quoted in connection with prayer meeting at church or with the gathering of God's people for worship in the church. The pastor or other leader in the worship service may remind you that the promise of Jesus Christ is that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He is there in the midst of them. Certainly this is true, and you may regard, I think, this as an application of the text in Matthew 18:20. But the text itself does not actually refer to the worship service or the prayer meeting. The context of the idea of two or three gathering together is actually quite different. Listen to the context. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 15. "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed." The idea of two or three being gathered together is specifically in the context of formal church discipline, or in the context of formal counseling. You see, here I would regard church discipline, that is, two or three coming together to counsel someone with regard to their sin, to be just that, the counseling circumstance. And it is a part of the discipline process outlined by our Lord in Matthew 18. And it's in this context that you read about the promise where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus, He is there in the midst of them. Reading on in Matthew 18, verse 17. "If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst." Yes, Jesus promises that when you come to agreement with regard to the charge of a sin against a brother, and you confront the brother, that this agreement reflects the thought of heaven. And with the blessing of Jesus Christ, you bring the charge against the individual who has sinned. And what is your desire and hope? Your desire and hope is to restore your brother, that they be forgiven. And your dependence is upon Jesus Christ. For where two or three are gathered together in his name, in this process, there he is in the midst of them. And of course, we assume that you are acting in accordance with the precepts of Scripture, that the sin is defined in accordance with the precepts of Scripture, and you have gone before God and sought His face and have come to agreement with Him through the Word of God that the problem is this particular sin. Now, you approach the brother or the sister, having come to agreement among yourselves and with God through Scripture, and in His presence and dependence upon Him, you lay the charge of sin before the brother or sister, and you call them to repentance. Where two or three are gathered together in His name, He is in the midst of them. You see, Matthew 18:20 has as its context the context of discipline, and the idea of two or three gathered together is the idea of taking others with you who are witnesses to seek to implore the brother or sister to repent of their sin. Oh yes, it's good for us to acknowledge God's presence with us in the worship service or in the prayer meeting. But I submit to you that although this text in Matthew 18:20 is often used in this way, it's not the best text to utilize in this fashion, because you're actually ripping it out of its context and utilizing it differently than our Lord is utilizing it within the specific context in Matthew 18. If you're going to plead God's presence with you in the worship service, I submit to you that a better text to use would be 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. Listen to what the text says here, and listen to what the Apostle Paul quotes from the Old Testament to substantiate his statement. For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Here is a text that speaks about the church utilizing the imagery of the Old Testament. What is the New Testament church gathered together? It is the temple of the living God. And what is a temple? A temple is a dwelling place for God. And so the Apostle Paul quotes from Leviticus the covenant promise of God. I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He thereby substantiates the presence of God with His people in worship. He thereby substantiates God's presence with you in the worship service. And so a text laying before you the idea of you being a temple of the living God and God's dwelling in that temple is a much better description. It is more apt in the circumstance of worship and the prayer meeting. Matthew 18:20, not so much the case. And so, remember the context in interpreting various verses of Scripture and in applying various verses of Scripture. Thanks for listening.